You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is a very special episode today. Dr. Jeff has gotten lots of questions about the type of nutritional protocols that he employed when he was there at Muscle Beach back in the day. I actually posted a picture of him on my Facebook page yesterday that really got people excited. So today he's going to reveal the secrets to his diet program that allowed him to build so much muscle, and also maintain very, very lean, body fat, throughout the year because he was always doing guest posing opportunities as well. And then we're going to be joined, a little bit later in the show by Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale to talk about, his anabolic diet. These are two very different protocols. That's why I did these. There's not just one way to skin a cat. Some people respond better than others to different dietary regimens. So we're going to give you a variety of approaches and you have to determine what works best for you. And without further ado,
this is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Hey, Dr. J, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
So very, very exciting show, all about the type of nutrition to build muscle. You had to learn from someplace, right? I mean, when you got to Muscle Beach, who did you look to, and who inspired you the most to develop the type of diet that you had when you were competing?
You know, it was kind of interesting because I went out there more or less as a power lifter and not really knowing, you know, how to adapt to a bodybuilding diet. But I learned more from the females than the guys.
Really?
Yeah, because I found that, you know, every guy had something completely different. Like, you know, Tim Belknap was a good friend, and I started training with him, and he kind of had his approach. Then you went on to, you know, what Fred Hatfield had, you know, what Samir, and each of them, you know, were slightly different. But I found that the females at that time were very tuned into their diet, and I actually kind of put together my program based off of like things from Janice Reagan and things.
Wow.
Kind of incorporated it to what worked for me.
I would have lost a bet on that one. Okay. So let's get right into it. Let's spare no time. Protein sources. How much protein a day do you think is required to build muscle and also contribute to leanness?
So my approach was, you know, high protein, high carbs, low fats. So that's kind of the program. And like you said, in the introduction, you got to find out what works for you. So, you know, there is no secret that works for everybody. This works for a lot of people. It worked for me. It worked for a lot of guys back in my time. But protein, you know, I try to get about 50 to 60 grams of protein per day. And I would eat about six times a day.
Okay, you broke up a little bit. 50 to 60 grams of protein per meal, and you'd eat five to six times a day.
Yeah, six times a day, because I tried to get in about, you know, 300 to 350 grams.
See, and ironically, ironically, this is actually being proven to be the right way, the right protein, by so many people. What comes to mind right now is Dr. Jose Antonio from ISSN has produced a couple groundbreaking studies that show that 3.4 grams of protein per kilo, which is what you're talking about, not
Correct.
Only builds more muscle, but keeps you lean.
It does, you know, and if you look at the bodybuilders back in the 70s and 80s, the ones that had those thinner, smaller physiques, they didn't eat the same amount of protein as the guys that had the thicker and larger physiques. I mean, let's face it, you know, muscle requires protein to build. So you got to take in more protein if you want to have a more muscular physique. But as you said, you know, protein is also required for fat metabolism and keeping lean looking. But I depended on, you know, egg whites. I was killing, not killing chickens, but a lot of chickens were feeding me a dozen eggs. You know, now that was only about 35 grams, but I only ate the whites. I never ate the yolks. So, you know, my first meal of the day would be a dozen egg whites, and then I would pick up the rest of my protein from a little bit of a protein shake I would drink with it, and then, you know, always kind of started out then. And then I primarily depended on chicken and fish. So, again, you know, you're looking about a pound of fish sometimes per sitting. But, again, very low calorie, good protein source. So lots of prep work. In my early days, because I was really concerned about fat, I didn't eat any red meat. And then about, you know, two or three, 4 years into it, I started to incorporate red meat. So now I, you know, if I look back, I would have ate red meat. I wouldn't have been as concerned as I was back then.
Right. Okay. So it sounds to me like because low fat was critical, and the mantra back then was the less fat you eat, the more fat the body provides for metabolic processes, and that's why you end up getting so lean. So lean cuts of meat and lean fishes, obviously egg whites, those were the staples.
Yeah, tilapia. You know, shark obviously is easy to get at in California. Most of the white
fish. Did you ever catch any shark yourself, Dr. J?
No, you know what? Because they would get hurt, bruised.
Yeah.
I really stayed away. I ate a lot of cod because, you know, it was affordable. It was a good tasting fish. But again, everything was, you know, grilled, baked, you know, no fried, none of that type of stuff. All very clean cooking.
Okay, now we know that spiking insulin or high insulin levels throughout the day can promote body fat creation. So the carbohydrate sources had to be paired appropriately, I would imagine, right?
Well, yeah, and the other thing too is, you know, this diet program goes with an active lifestyle. Cardio, you know, part of what we did. You know, I know a lot of guys and gals today, you know, don't do cardio and things, but we're talking about, again, you know, how does the body work? I wanted to eat more food on a diet, so I really didn't diet. It didn't change a whole lot. As a matter of fact, I actually increased some of my calories as I was getting ready for a contest. You know, cut out some of the little things that I did. But carbohydrates were an important fuel source because that was the kindling to metabolize body fat so that, you know, I could do the cardio that I did. And as you said, yeah, it was paired good. But I always ate my protein and my carbs together. So again, you know, I was eating about every 2.5 hours.
And how many grams of carbs per meal would you get with that 50 to 60 grams of protein?
You know, during the gaining cycle, I really ate what I felt like, what I wanted to, because I was looking at making up the rest of my calories and carbohydrates. So in order to get in, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 calories, I was eating a lot of carbohydrates. So we're looking at, you know, probably 600, 700 grams
a day.
But again, I was a day, but I was doing, you know, 1 to 2 hours of cardio, at some times during the week, during the day.
Okay. Now, since you were being cautious with fat, you weren't eliminating fat. I'm sure you were very selective with your fat intake, right?
You know, I was the only fats that I got were from my protein sources.
Oh.
I didn't utilize any type of olive oils or oils. I didn't eat nuts. So, you know, what fat I got from my chicken, my meat, and my fish, that was my fat sources. So I didn't really calculate fat. I did on a diet. So, you know, that's when I kind of switched over to the leanest cuts that I could find. But, you know, off season, again, I still didn't get that much fat in my diet.
Now, tell me something. When you first started this journey in Ohio as a powerlifter, to the point where you actually became a pro bodybuilder, how much muscle did you put on altogether through that journey?
Boy, you know, I mean, when I got out of football, when I played football, you know, I think the heaviest I was about maybe 215.
Okay.
So when I powerlifted, you know, during my football career, I was a heavyweight, but I was under, you know, 220 pounds. When I then crossed over into, you know, powerlifting slash bodybuilding, that's when I started to first put on weight. Now, I don't know how much muscle I had because my very first bodybuilding show, which was the Mr. Lorraine, I think I weighed in as a heavyweight, maybe about, 195. Mm-hmm. I probably dieted down from about, you know, again, 215 or so. But as I got into powerlifting, I started to put on weight. So my first big increase, you know, which was probably over a year, I had gotten up to about 250.
Wow. Now, how tall are you, Dr. Jeff? Let's put this in perspective.
Yeah, 6 foot.
Okay.
Now, I was blocky. You know, I didn't have abs. I carried a lot of body fat. But, you know, I had not done another contest since that very first contest in 82. So in 1983, I moved out to Venice Beach, California, you know, as a, you know, stocky bodybuilder. But when I returned, I went out there in June, and when I had returned home in December, you know, everything, what the guys noticed at the gym was, wow, you look like one of those guys in the magazine. Now, I did not go on a diet or anything. I just changed my eating lifestyle. I always train hard. I picked up some new things out there where, you know, I got to bench press, so I quit bench pressing, and I started to do more dumbbell work for my chest, but I continued to deadlift and squat. But just by getting rid of all the junk that I ate when I was in Ohio, I didn't really have a diet. I would go to the buffet, and if they had ribs, I thought there was a pack of wolves by all the bones left over. I mean,
right.
I didn't care if it was fried, hot, you name it, I ate it. But again, you know, your metabolism is a lot quicker as a younger guy. But when you get into bodybuilding, you know, the higher quality of food, the better quality of the weight slash muscle that you'll put on.
And the reality is that, I mean, when I look at pictures of you from Venice Beach, even though you kept squatting, you didn't have, you know, there's that, a lot of people think that if you squat, it's going to make your waist larger, but you had a really, really small waist, didn't you?
Oh, I did, you know, and I think, you know, again, one of the secrets that I learned is we didn't do weighted stuff. You know, what people forget is that, you know, your abs are a muscle. So we didn't do a lot of weighted stuff. Everything was, you know, more isometric.
For the abs, you mean?
You know, just, yeah, for the abs. So I didn't want a thick waist.
Yeah, you don't want the ab muscles and the oblique muscles. I see people doing these things where they grab a 90-pound dumbbell and they do this side thing. And I'm thinking, why would you want your obliques to grow? It's just going to make you look thicker.
Yeah, and that was the thing I didn't. But no, you know, squatting never did. I mean, that, you know, that was my favorite exercise. I had very big legs for back then. They were cut. So again, you know, doing cardio did shrink my legs. Squatting didn't make me blocky. But what it did, you know, it gave me a thicker physique. And again, back then, that was kind of the beginning of the bigger physiques. I was a little ahead of my time.
The beginning of the freaks, right?
Well, you know, not quite, but you know, bigger than some of the earlier lifters,
right.
You know, the Chris Dickinsons and stuff, you know, the beautiful symmetrical
right.
physiques, because you got to remember, we were still judged on posing and symmetry. So, you know, you had to have a symmetrical physique. You couldn't just be big, blocky with a big old belt.
Right.
And, you know, now they don't even judge on posing or symmetry. Those were all part of our school.
Right, right. Let's do this, Dr. Jeff. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'd like to hear, did you snack? Because that's a big thing today. Everybody's looking for ways to snack and stay on track. I didn't mean for that to rhyme. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans. Stay tuned. Got a properly used carbohydrate to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh, no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web. The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles. And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Jeff Gallini about the diet that he used when he was an IFBB pro back in the golden era of bodybuilding in Muscle Beach, California. And obviously, this was the mecca for bodybuilding, and this is why these bits of information and secrets are so important. So today, everything is about snacking, Dr. Jeff. People are always looking for snacks that allow them to feel like they're not depriving themselves, but staying on task. Did you guys have that, or did you guys just go, look, suck it up? There's no such thing as snacks.
No, you know, the one thing, when you eat a low-fat diet, you're hungry. So even though I ate about every 2.5 hours, there'd be times where you'd get in the afternoon or in the evening. So we used to make like homemade granola. So most of my snacks was all carbs. Mm. homemade muffins, granola, or there was a place at the mall that maybe once or twice a week I'd go over there and they had these big giant, you know, oat bran muffins. But that's what I found. You know, I didn't eat a lot of fruits. Other than a banana was always my pre-workout. But, you know, grains, oats and things were anything that was what I snacked on. I think we even made like cookies, you know. And again, this was all healthy because I ate no sugar either.
Right.
If it had sugar in it, I would not eat it. You know, ketchup, any of that kind of stuff. So I really ate extremely clean.
So your rule of thumb was sugar is off limits, but starchy carbs, stuff like that is okay. But there's a reason for that too, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. I mean, common wisdom today says you can't get lean eating high carbs, but my goodness, you were ripped to shreds. Do you know what your body fat was back in the day when you would step on stage?
Oh yeah, I would be down 4% or something, I think.
Right. I mean that's amazing. So and that would be contrary to what people will say about, well, you can't eat high carbs and get ripped.
But you know the problem is that they forget that they're still wanting to eat the fats. You can eat high carbs and be ripped. I remember one show, my friends talked me into running. You know, Dr. Jeff isn't a runner, even though I played, you know, football and stuff.
Right.
But I got into running. It took me a while to get used to it. But that contest during that year, I actually never cut out breads or anything because I was out running. I was metabolizing stuff so fast that I would get up in the middle of the night just to eat carbs.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. Now, I only did that 1 year because, you know, 5Ks and 10Ks on a big old body just didn't work very well.
Right. No, that's got to be tough on the joints. What about supplements? Are there any supplements that you guys used back then that are still around today? A lot of stuff has kind of come and gone. But what were the mainstays back then that seem to still be working today?
You know, there wasn't much back then. So back then we had protein powder, which we have today. The problem is it tasted nasty. It was old milk and egg. It wasn't very good. So you had to be kind of creative. And again, we didn't have sucralose and, you know, sugar alcohols. So we were stuck with, I think we had saccharin. I think there was some aspartame, but I didn't use a lot of that. So you just kind of choked it down, maybe put a banana in there. Desiccated liver tabs, which, you know, I used to eat 100 of those a day. So again, you know, throughout the day in between my meals, I was choking those down.
You know, I gotta stop you. Desiccated liver tabs always come around. They're like bell bottoms. You know, you wear them for a while and then they become out of style. And all of a sudden you see the kids wearing bell bottoms. You go, oh, I used to wear bell bottoms. Desiccated liver tabs come back around over and over again. I remember, being a kid reading a bodybuilding magazine and going to my pharmacist and asking him about desiccated liver because I wanted to know how I could get, you know, this supplement. I didn't realize that you could just buy it from some of these companies out there. So do you think desiccated liver tabs should be reintroduced as a modern supplement today? Should bodybuilders be taking it again?
You know what? Yes, and I'm actually thinking about bringing those back. Because
do it, man. Do it.
They are so important. I mean, you know, it's there's so many nutrients, iron, B12, protein. I mean, you just felt so good. You know, I think when
Do you remember the study where they swim till you die? When they take rats, they throw them in a pool of water and they make them swim till they die. You know, that's that procedure.
Right.
So
right.
They gave one group of rats liver, desiccated liver in their chow, and the other rats they gave regular chow. They fed them that way for 3 or 4 days, and then they threw the rats in a pool of water and let them swim. And the desiccated liver, the rats that were eating the desiccated liver swam for some ridiculous amount of time, didn't die. They ended up taking them out of the water and calling the study off. All the other rats died except the ones that were eating desiccated liver.
Well, you know, back in Ohio, all the powerlifters ate liver. And, you know, when I didn't care about my diet, you know, putting the breading on there in the pan with the oil and onions
and bay leaf.
You know, I could choke. Yeah, it wasn't my favorite thing, but I ate it for what it was. But, you know, when I, again, changed my diet, that didn't fit into my diet. But the liver tabs, you know, other than some gas, you know, they were great.
Bring them back, Dr. Jeff. Come on. You're the guy who could do this, man.
I'm good, man. You know, I'm actually, as I was thinking, I'm going to get back on those too. So I gotta get my old formula up and
well, and not only that, but you have a great source. You have a great source of cattle farmers inside the United States where you sourced the grass-fed, low-heat pasteurized whey and casein for Thrive. Get with those guys, man. Nice get that liver protein. Oh man.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm work on it, man.
We can't talk about diet without talking about cardio. Isn't that funny?
You know it is, and I did cardio pretty much year round. Now, the one thing that's nice about California is you walk. We all had bicycles, so, you know, we trained 3 days on, 1 day off. Our off day, you'd get on the bike in the morning and you'd go down the boardwalk and, you know, a couple, 2-3 hours, you'd do a bike ride. So, you know, cardio wasn't what we think of today. My personal opinion is you should be able to do cardio and carry on a conversation with somebody. It isn't about sweating. It isn't about getting your metabolic rate up. It's just going for a walk. So we always walked after half the meals. I mean, you know, you never pulled right up to wherever you were going. You'd always park over here and take a walk to the beach or, you know, you walk to the gym. So a lot of walking.
I know a supplement that we didn't talk about, but you guys were getting out there, but you didn't think about it because you were just having fun laying on the beach. But you guys spent a lot of time in the sun. After you guys would train, you'd all go to the beach and lay around and eat and watch the girls, right? That sun had to do something for you.
You know, I think it did, too, because, I mean, in the sun, I mean, year-round, whether it was off-season, on-season, you know, you always wanted to look good. I mean, part of being bodybuilding is there is no off-season. You never know when somebody was going to call you and wants you to do a posing or even make an appearance. And for me, you know, I had to be looking good, whether it was just a T-shirt appearance, tank top appearance, or you never knew when someone was going to say, hey, could you take your shirt off? And normally they all wanted you to take your shirt off at one point, so you just couldn't be fat, you know?
Yeah, they made you do that when you would go out to the clubs at night. I know you were a bouncer. How many girls asked you to take your shirt off when you were working the door?
You know, now that we weren't allowed to do because, you know, but they could see through those white shirts.
I think I could.
They all wanted to feel, you know, and check it out. They saw those big old 23-inch python shit.
They wanted to see if they were real. I think Dr. Jeff just blushed on the radio just now. Listen, Dr. Jeff, really, can you promise the audience you're going to bring liver tablets back?
I will. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to bring them back.
Come on, man. I need them, too. I'm getting old, brother.
All right. I hear you. We're going to work on it, Carl.
Those of you listening to the show, if you want to reach out to Dr. Jeff, go to superhumanradio.com. At the bottom right-hand side of the website, you'll see a banner ad that says Ask the Scientist. Click that banner ad.
And also...
Good, I'm sorry?
Yeah. And go to Facebook. I love seeing my likes go up. You know, I'm kind of addicted to it.
Yeah.
So go follow my... Because you'll find lots of good information. I like giving it away. You know, one of the things that you learn... is it's fun passing on stuff. So I have no secrets that I wouldn't share. So if you want to know something, ask me, and I'll lay it straight out how I did things.
So it's Jeff Gallini, G-O-L-I-N-I, on Facebook, or go to Superhuman Radio and click the Ask the Scientist banner ad and ask Dr. Jeff a question. Better yet, ask him for some free samples of stuff. That's even fun. Dr. Jeff.
Give him a nice surprise.
Thanks for everything today, brother.
Thank you, man. Take care,
talk next week. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break real fast. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion from another angle. We're going to be talking to a guy who espouses a high-fat diet for building more muscle. And that is Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym?
You will now,
thanks to this free book by EFX Sports.
The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside. The NGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth. It dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all 4 forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
I don't know how that music gets in there sometimes, but I've got to get some of it out of there. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a very, very exciting show today, and I'll tell you why. This show is now in its 11th year. Guess who my very first guest was ever? The very first guest I ever had on the show. My next guest, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. How you doing, Mauro?
I'm just fine, Carl.
You realize that? It was over 10 years ago. I reached out to you and asked you to be a guest when I was working with Clear Channel Radio here in Louisville, Kentucky. And you were my very first show, my very first interview.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Time flies, doesn't it?
And too fast, Mauro. Way too fast for my liking. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's good to have you back on the show, and you will be hearing a lot more from Dr. DiPasquale on the show as we move forward. So if you have specific questions for him, send them to onair@superhumanradio.com, and we will get them answered for all of the listeners out there who have been loving and wanting to hear more from Dr. DePasquale. I put this show up on Facebook yesterday. I got so many shares. So many people were excited that you were coming on the show. It was unbelievable.
That's great. So it's been a while.
Well, and there's been a lot of people that, look, there's some people out there who don't know who you are. So let's start with a little remedial discussion. When did you become involved in physical culture?
Over 50 years ago, actually. I started when I was 13 years old. Started lifting weights, looking into nutrition, carried that on to the present day.
And back then, you were a power lifter, right?
Yes. Actually, in university, when I was going for my molecular biochemistry and genetics degree, I was involved in wrestling and in gymnastics. And, of course, my lifting, my training and everything had, you know, been over 10 years at that time. Then when I graduated from medicine, I decided I wanted to train or at least have my practice in the country rather than the city. And unfortunately, there's no one there to do gymnastics with, and no one without the equipment. And of course, the wrestling, you have to have another partner to wrestle. So I took up powerlifting because I'd been training anyways with weights for many, many years. And I rose to the level of IPF world champion, took the world games, took the Canadian championships 8 or 9 times, Pan American championships, North American championships. I won just about everything there was to win.
Amazing pedigree in powerlifting. But at that point in time, when did you start to become focused on nutrition? Back then it was all about doing the work. When did you start to unlock the code that nutrition plays a larger role than we give it credit to when it comes to building strength?
It was almost right from the start, because when I started training with weights and stuff, I was really interested in nutrition even at that time, 13, 14 years old. I remember in my early years, I'd go downtown in Toronto and to Raleigh's, which was a health club, which was orientated towards lifting and bodybuilding, et cetera. And I used to buy Ironman, you know. Uh-huh. And in Ironman, of course, they had G.O.H. Blair and the proteins, and Hoffman had his protein products. And so, you know, I looked into that almost right away. So I started making my own milkshakes with protein and actually, they were so complex at the time, because I used desiccated liver and brewer's yeast, whatever was available. I never had a problem with anybody stealing my protein shakes, because they were pretty disgusting. I choked them down, but, you know, my interest started way back then.
And I've heard that, especially about the stuff that Rio H. Blair put out back in the day. I heard that it was really difficult to even swallow. It tasted so bad.
We should try the Hoffman. The soy protein originally put out by Hoffman was just disgusting.
Really?
But you mix that with desiccated liver, brewer's yeast, raw eggs, and a whole bunch of other stuff, and you get a concoction that only those that aren't faint of heart would be able to take.
Well, you know what else I was just thinking? Look at this phenomenon. Tell me one other sport where the athletes are willing to choke down stuff that is unbearable to taste and to swallow in the pursuit of greater strength and muscle, the noble pursuit of greater strength and muscle. Show me one of the, I mean, football players, they're not eating stuff that tastes that bad. They're eating steak. But you give a power lifter or a bodybuilder and say, this stuff tastes like donkey poop, but if you eat it, it'll give you just a little bit more muscle. They will eat it 5 times a day.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And today, palatability is so important. I mean, all whole bunch of products that are out there, including food products, etc., go on palatability. They add all kinds of things to make it more palatable so people will eat it. And if it doesn't taste that good nowadays, people will, you know, they'll say, well, look, I'm not taking that. It just doesn't taste right. It doesn't taste good. But they don't realize that the ingredients and everything in it are what makes up whatever they're using and will give them results.
Right.
But taste is so important nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Back then it wasn't. It was results. Okay, so
yeah.
You authored a book called The Anabolic Diet, and you started working on it back in the 50s. Am I correct?
Actually, the 60s. This is when I first went I was actually interested, obviously, way before then, but at 18 years old, I went into the 4 years molecular biochemistry and genetics course, which I got my degree in. At that time, it was the University of Toronto, and the building that I took some of my courses in was the Best and Banting building, which were the people who basically discovered insulin.
Oh, wow.
So my interests were piqued right from the start, starting at the age of maybe 17, 18, I really got into it.
And by the way, for those of you listening live today, in about 2 weeks, I believe it's Monday the 15th, we're going to come back and talk about insulin and insulin sensitivity, because Dr. DePasquale talked on my show back in 2008 about insulin and insulin sensitivity with some thought-provoking ideas about it that have come to fruition. And so we're going to catch up with Dr. DePasquale on what he understands about insulin and insulin sensitivity as we move forward. That'll be on the 15th, so watch for that. Okay, so when do you start writing the anabolic diet? When does it become a dietary template for you?
Well, I actually used the anabolic diet myself when in my lifting career. When I won the Worlds back in 1976, that's basically the diet I was on. I changed my weight from 132 to 212 using the principles that I outlined in the book, the anabolic diet. I was able to keep my body fat relatively low, even at 212 pounds, which is, you know, quite a feat for me, considering I'm fairly small boned and I'm only about 5'6". But you know, I used the principles behind that to gain the weight and keep my body fat down to about 10% at 212 pounds. When I was 132 pounds, I must have been like 2%.
Wow. Okay, so it's important to distinguish something. We're going to take a break, but it's important to distinguish something. Your approach to dieting was quite the opposite, and correct me if I'm wrong, than what was considered the common wisdom back then, where avoid fat at all costs and go exclusively high carb, high protein. You were emulating more of a high fat, high protein approach, like the ones I want to say that were espoused by Stefanson and people like that, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I was castigated by people when I first wrote some of my first articles back in the 80s about, you know, taking in a high fat diet, high protein diet, keeping carbs really low. They thought, this guy is absolutely nuts. He's going against all studies that have been done up to this point. Doesn't he realize about cholesterol and saturated fat and how bad they are, et cetera? I got a lot of negative feedback, but you know what? I didn't really care.
So you have to feel vindicated right now at this moment in time with all the research coming forth on high fat, high protein, and high fat, moderate protein, low carb diets, not only being effective for performance, but more importantly, actually being therapeutic diets to reverse diseases. I mean, you've gotta feel vindicated now.
Oh, I am. Oh, there's no doubt that I am. Over the years, many studies have shown that my theories back 30, 40 years ago are correct and more applicable to the general public as well as athletes. There's no doubt about that. I mean, even the business. I wrote a book back in 1997, published by Francis. And it's called Amino Acids and Proteins for the Athlete, the Anabolic Edge, back in 97. Right. And way before that, I'd written other articles. And I said, basically, if a person wants to maximize their body composition, they should take 1 gram of protein, at least 1 gram of protein per pound of protein.
Per pound of body weight, you mean, right?
Per pound of body weight, yeah. And, you know, basically, the thing was, no, you're totally wrong. You need 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. That's all you need. Any more than that, you know, you metabolize.
It's not useful. And back then they would say, and the carbohydrates spare the protein, so you don't need as much protein when you're having 600 to 800 grams of carbohydrates a day. And that really that didn't work out.
No, actually, a study just came out a couple of months ago that basically said what I said 30, 40 years ago. To maximize body composition, you need a higher level of protein than the average person, but much, much higher than is generally recognized. The paper is very specific about the effects of the higher protein on body composition as against the lower protein.
We actually did that interview with Dr. Jose Antonio. 3.4 grams of protein per kilo not only builds more muscle, but increased leanness in the individuals.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We actually did that show.
Came out a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jose's a nice guy. I like him.
Yeah, very, very sharp. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to get into the template of the anabolic diet. And I want to tell people where they can also get the book. We're talking right now with Dr. Mauro DePasquale. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Eat as Assert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of six ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com. And use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale, one of the forerunners in so many, really, one of the original thought leaders when it comes to what we are just learning now about the importance of fat, the role of a high-fat diet. Back then, he was looking at it from a performance standpoint, and he saw the potential health benefits. Today, therapeutic diet approaches today that deal with things like seizures, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, gut microbiome dysbiosis. They're all finding out that a high-fat, moderate protein or a high-fat, high-protein diet is the right way to reverse diseases. So let's talk about the original anabolic diet. The book was published when?
It was published in 1995, although I'd written articles probably 5, 6, 7 years before then.
That were preceding the book. Okay. So what? Give an idea of what the basic template of the anabolic diet is. Now, back then, there were people saying that the anabolic diet was as effective as any other diet using drugs, and we'll get into that in a second. What was the template?
Well, the template is pretty simple, actually. It's a biphasic diet. It's not a simple monophasic diet like, for example, a strict low-carb diet. It incorporates two phases. One phase is a low-carb phase, higher fat, high protein. The second phase allows you, and it's a much shorter phase, allows you a certain amount of carbs. And there are basic and actually complex reasons behind the phase shift dieting.
I want to get into that because actually this is derived from evolution, isn't it?
No, definitely. No doubt about that. What happens is, well, I mean, I majored in genetics in university before I went into medicine. And the genome, you know, the hardwired DNA does not tell nearly the story that the actual expression of the genes tells. In other words, you can change your genetic predispositions towards macronutrient handling, towards almost anything, depending on, you know, a lot of circumstances. I don't know if many people know about epigenetics.
Audience, they do, because we do lots of shows on epigenetics. And really, what we're learning about epigenetics right now is so exciting because not only does your environment affect your outcome based on genetic predisposition, but it may actually change the encoding of your genes.
Yes, well, that's something that's controversial at this point, but there's no doubt that epigenetic changes, in other words, changes to the hardwired DNA and the expression of the hardwired DNA, can be transmitted to future generations. I mean, now there's a recent study that I don't think has been published yet. I was talking to the authors, and they've shown the transmission of these epigenetic changes over more than 7 generations. It's still going.
Yeah, and that's scary, and I'll tell you why. We've done shows about the effects of certain herbicides and pesticides having transgenerational epigenetic effects, but they've only ever looked at 3 or 4 generations out.
Exactly.
And the other thing that, interestingly enough, not to belabor the vegan vegetarian approach, because I think vegetables are very important in the diet, but an exclusively vegan diet may actually harm offspring many generations further up, because what we're learning now is that not having enough protein in the diet actually changes the germ line of men's sperm. If a man is starving for the appropriate types of proteins in the right amounts, that causes an epigenetic generational effect that's passed on to his children, and those children are more predisposed to metabolic disorders. And we have people out there who are starving themselves of protein by being vegans today.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's all kinds of diet fads that are going to be counterproductive, either at the time that you're going through them or in future generations. I mean, there's a paper that I was just reading. It was published, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it's a combination of philosophical and biogenetics, and it's called "What Is a Gene For?" by Lindo Bauman. Fascinating, and it just shows you right now how complex all the issues are, and how we still have so much more to learn.
Yeah.
But we're also finding out that the old Darwinian genetics, or, you know, the evolution of the species, is not as accurate as it could be. It's also showing that changes can occur almost like an on-off switch. In other words, depending on what happens at a certain time in your lifespan, either even before you were born, of course, because what happens to the mother or the state of the mother can affect how you develop and how your genes are expressed, etc. But it's a very, very complicated field, and it gets more complicated all the time. With non-coding DNA, with microRNAs, with all kinds of enzymes affecting what happens from the gene to the actual, what they call the phenotype, in other words, what you really are. Now, that can be changed, and this is part of the basis of the anabolic diet, is the biphasic change that can occur that allows you to use more than just a straight monophasic, low-carb, high-fat, high-protein diet.
So how long is the high fat, high protein phase of the anabolic diet?
Well, okay. What I did initially in the book was make it over a 1 week period. And the reason I did that is because a lot of people have trouble sticking to a really rigorous diet on the weekends.
Right.
So I allowed people, for example, to go from anywhere from 5 to 6 days on the low carb phase, and then even just one meal, or depending on you know how your phenotype is expressed, up to 2 days of high carbing. Now the reason I did this was because keeping on a low carb monophasic diet tends to be somewhat catabolic down the line. To some extent, it's hard to build the muscle and mass you need. Improve body composition without having the ability to go into the really strenuous kind of exercise.
Even if you're in a caloric excess through high fat intake.
But even then, because what happens is let's say you go on a straight low carb diet, high fat, high protein. You're still limited by the VO2 max to some extent, even though the VO2 max will be raised somewhat. So that you can do really strenuous exercise at a lower oxygen availability, okay? You're still going to be running into problems not being able to utilize carbs effectively, and that's why the phase shift. What the phase shift does, it allows you to build up some glycogen in the muscle that only is used when you really need it. In other words, most of the time, most of the exercise, you'll be burning off fat. And if it's not dietary fat, it's body fat, and actually I have more to say about that as well, because when you're looking at body composition, what you want to do is you want to do an induction phase when most of the calories come from dietary fat. Mm. In other words, you don't worry about the first couple of weeks, because at that point, what you want is your body to be epigenetically changed, the enzyme systems, etc. It's like a cog turning so that you utilize fat much more effectively and as a primary fuel. So it leaves carbs alone because you're not giving it carbs. Now, this is actually more complex. And we'll discuss this in future shows. But so at that point, once your fat adapted, going off for a short period of time does not change your ability to use fat as a primary fuel, but it does increase your ability to use any glycogen that you store for the highly anaerobic exercise, which I think is needed.
So you can actually use that phase to boomerang back into greater strength gains.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what my whole diet is about. And people really haven't caught on to that, you know? I mean, of course, you know, the low-carb phase and the high-fat phase and the high-protein phase got a lot of people excited and I got a lot of people that said that I was crazy. But then when I went into the other phase, they just didn't get it. They don't understand that what happens when you go on a low-carb, high-fat diet, for example, is that the mitochondria in the cells have these fat globules almost attached to the mitochondria.
Right.
It's a membrane-to-membrane attachment. So that your primary fuel comes from these fat droplets and also, of course, you know, supplemented by lipids in the blood, lipids in and around the muscle, et cetera, okay?
Right.
But then, when you need it, when you need the one rep max, the strenuous, the 100-yard sprint, et cetera, at that point, you're going to need some glycogen. Now, some of it can be formed endogenously through what they call gluconeogenesis.
Right.
But that's a complex process.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Not only that, but with the diet that I have, it doesn't take that long.
Well, is it that it doesn't take that long, or is it that you have kind of reestablished muscle glycogen stores so they're there on demand, so you're more like a hybrid car where you could switch
exactly.
from those triglycerides being burned by the mitochondria to glucose?
Exactly. That's a simple explanation of all this. It's more complex.
Well,
I mentioned in an email to you about the glyoxylate cycle,
yeah,
which is an interesting cycle. Now, at first it was thought only in plants and certain bacteria, but now they've actually found some of the enzyme systems that are necessary for that to occur in mammals. Now, here's the point. If you're under a certain set of conditions where you make epigenetic changes, you may be able to use fat. Okay? Now, this is controversial. You can use fat to make glucose.
And not ketones. Wait, I want to stay with this. We have to talk about this when we come back because this is really interesting. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll also tell you how you can get a copy of The Anabolic Diet. I've received more messages from people. Jason Leloux just messaged me on Facebook and said he's brushing the dust off of his Anabolic Diet book as we speak. Many of you already have the book. It's time to go back to it. Those who don't have the book will tell you how you can get it. Stay tuned.
Best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building and physical culture information. Read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
No.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
You know what it is, when we do what we do. If good girls get down,
welcome back. One of the original thought leaders in performance nutrition, Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. And now we're going to talk about something that's probably not in the current blogosphere, guruosphere. Because, you know, Mauro, and then we'll tell people where they can go get the book in just a second. I just want to say this. There's this notion that you must become keto-adapted, that you have to, the body doesn't just produce ketones on on demand. And that may be true, but if what you're saying is that the body can actually take fat and yield glucose from it, not necessarily ketones, that might be an alternate step, kind of like a first gear, second gear type thing.
No, no doubt about that. Not only that, though, you can also make proteins from fat.
Really?
Not just glucose. Yes, really, yeah. All you have to do is have the deamination reaction to the glyoxylate cycle, which I'll explain in one of our other shows. But anyways, I work with theories. You know, I work with theories, and I've always worked with theories, thinking, you know, I take my own intuition, the research that I do, and my work in the trenches, and I come out with certain ideas and things, and this is one of the ideas that I've been working with lately, as well as you know, the genetic, epigenetic, and non-DNA coding and all that kind of stuff, which we'll also discuss in future,
episodes.
Shows.
Yeah.
But it's, the whole thing is fascinating. You know, the citric acid cycle, the Krebs cycle, I mean, we've known about this now for a long, long time, you know, how certain nutrients, you know, produce energy, and how going through the cycle produces various amino acids, transamination reactions that will produce, for example, glucose from protein, something that everybody knows about, I'm sure, from lactic acid, from the glycerol that comes with the triglycerides, which is fat. By the way, that's another form of glucose, where the body makes the glucose that's needed from fats, but not necessarily from the actual fatty acid molecule, but from the binding of the triglycerides, which is basically a carb.
Interesting.
So every time you break down body fat, you're actually also producing carbs directly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff like that. But you know, the whole principle is that, you know, people still have not grasped the phasic parts of my diet, you know, and why, you know, I've worked on this for so long, to maximize performance and body composition, much more so than a straight monophasic, low carb, high fat, high protein diet.
Where can people get the book these days?
Well, there were problems with the anabolic diet, which was originally published, was published by someone else, actually, another company, and they retained the rights, which I now have. So I actually had to change the name to The Anabolic Solution, which is the present book. And I'm now working on a revision of the anabolic diet and the metabolic diet. So, you know, using a lot of theory as well, you know, explaining what's going on, making it somewhat easy to understand at first, and then if people want to go into more detail, they just go into different parts of the book. But they can presently get, I have a new site, which is a temporary site, because I have a super site now in the works, which will be ready in a couple of months, but www.moro, M-A-U-R-O, MD.com. Pretty simple.
And they can get the current version of what is the anabolic diet.
Get the anabolic solution, which is the current version. It's actually a little more complicated than the anabolic diet. The original anabolic diet was really dumbed down quite a bit from what I wanted. Although it's good to have, you know, some basic information and how to follow the diet, et cetera. But there's more information in the anabolic solution books. And there'll be a lot more in upcoming books that I'll be doing. Including things we're talking about.
Go ahead.
Sorry, including things that we're talking about now and that we will be talking about.
You know, I'm quiet because I'm sitting here thinking about some of the bombs that you just dropped about how you can produce glucose from fat, you can produce protein from fat, and I gotta say that while this may not be commonly discussed today, the way ketones are, it makes perfect sense from an evolutionary standpoint, because the reason that our body has this great metabolic flexibility is because we are descendants of the selection pressures of individuals who are able to sustain life through very rigorous famines and tough times. And, you know, the combined ice ages, everybody thinks they say, the ice age. There was two ice ages. They lasted over 40,000 years. That
right.
means over 40,000 years without anything growing out of the ground that was edible. Think about that next time you talk about the, we're supposed to be vegans.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So you have to be able to make these things on demand, and
yes,
that's part of our evolutionary gift, the reason we're here today.
Now, have you ever heard of Lamarckian?
Say that again?
Have you ever heard of the Lamarckian theory?
No, I have not.
Okay, everybody's heard of Darwin, evolution right. of the species, and how things progress, et cetera. It's a slow process, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Lamarck was pre-Darwin. Actually, he died about 40 years before Darwin actually published his work. And Lamarck was actually an epigenetic guy.
Really?
What he said is, you can make changes immediately. In some cases, just like turning on a light switch. And you can change certain things that would occur in your body if you strictly went by the DNA hard wiring. Now, Lamarck was scoffed. His theory was scoffed at, etc. Now it's coming back in again.
Right.
We're realizing that, in fact, him and Darwin weren't that far apart and that they should be working together rather than disparate.
Interesting. That's so interesting. And that's part of this discussion here. So getting back to the anabolic solution, let's call it that to keep everybody on task, because when they get to your website, that's the book they're going to be looking for.
Right, exactly.
And the website, again, is MauroMD, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.
Yeah, MauroMD.com, yep.
Okay. So this biphasic diet, so you have a high-fat, high-protein phase, and then you have a high-carbohydrate, high-protein phase?
Yes, but the high-carbohydrate phase, because this is done, and this is the reason I did it on a weekly basis, because this is done every week, you kind of get a feeling what works best for the person. In other words, trial and error. That's still really important. You really have to try things, see how you feel, see how how your training goes, et cetera, et cetera. For some people, they can only have one high-carb diet because otherwise they feel sluggish and, they feel like they're putting on fat, et cetera, et cetera. Some people can go a whole 2 days. So it depends on the person. This is explained in the book.
Okay, okay.
So I have a site now called the Epigenetic Diet, which I'm going to be working on. It's not right now. It's not live.
Okay.
But this actually will be based on the changes in genetics, what you can do, et cetera. Just information-wise, I believe that. Any of the things I come up with, I'd like to share with other people.
Yeah.
Whether they agree with me or not. And if they don't agree with me, actually, and they give me reasons why they don't agree with me, that's good too.
Yeah, that's
because it allows me to think about things and say, okay, well, maybe, this is a possibility as well. Let's include this in what I'm thinking.
The hallmark of a true scientist is not somebody who becomes angry when someone disputes one of their theories. The hallmark of true science is cordial discourse, where people have a conversation, because the only people who dig their heels in are people who are protecting ideologies and not scientific ideas.
Yes, so I agree
100%. Okay, so...
No, ketones. You want to go back to the ketones?
I want to talk about ketones for a second. So did you think about ketones in the anabolic solution back in the day when you were writing the book?
I thought about it, but, people say, okay, if you're really strict and you take a urine test, you're going to show ketones in the urine.
Right.
That's not necessarily true. It depends on your efficiency in utilizing the ketones before they spill over into the urine.
Yes.
So you could be very, very strict, check your urine and say, oh, my God, I'm not being strict enough, even though you may be at zero carbs.
Because you're actually keto-adapted already because your body's using those ketones.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also using it. Ketones are just a form of two-carbon, three-carbon units, which are very similar to the oxidized fatty acids. So they intermix. I mean, you're not dealing about one issue and then another issue. These are working together in the body, So utilizing the breaking down body fat, utilizing that, oxidizing it into two carbon units, which go into the Krebs cycle and can form, glucose, can form amino acids depending on transamination responses, et cetera. It's all very complex, but it's also fascinating. And
so,
it's changing.
So I have been a huge fan of intermittent fasting for years now, probably 7-8 years. I can easily go 24 hours. I've actually had one of my most rigorous, highest volume, heaviest leg training days after a 72-hour fast just to see if I could do it. And so I have to believe that when you use things like intermittent fasting regularly, your body becomes more flexible and can switch over to producing ketones faster. You think that's a fair assumption?
Well, I think it's a pretty fair assumption, of course. You know, when you're not taking anything exogenously, if you're not taking food exogenously, then your body has to do what it has endogenously, what is present in the body. And what's more present than fat?
Right.
You break down the fat, your enzyme systems, epigenetically, again, enzyme systems are ready to go. Now, as far as fasting, it's, you've seen the studies in Ramadan on people who have fasted and the results they get, people who are athletic and people who are non-athletic, they're confusing as to whether or not it's effective or not effective. But again, you see, individually, you can find out, as you did.
I don't think everybody... Okay, so let me step back. In today's day and age where food is available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for the majority of the people on the planet, fasting is difficult. I know people who tell me they can't go for a few hours without a meal, and I'm not talking about bodybuilders, I'm talking about regular people, because they get the shakes, they get weak, they start sweating. To me, they've lost their metabolic flexibility. Through intermittent fasting, you can regain that. But I do think that intermittent fasting acutely may not provide some of the benefits some research shows, because the body hasn't adapted to knowing what to do. As you point out, epigenetically, it hasn't prepared itself. But when you do it frequently enough for a long period of time, things change. When I fast now, I actually feel, and I people are going to laugh when I say this, I actually feel high around the fifth or sixth, around the 17 or 18 hour point, because I usually fast starting in the evening, so I sleep 8 hours through my fast. Around the 16 to 17, 8 hour, hour point, I actually feel almost euphoric. And I know
you know why?
Why?
You know why? Because you're producing opioids.
Really?
What happens is under the stress, fasting is a stress. The body then adapts to the stress. And one of the ways it adapts is by putting out compounds that act like narcotics.
Oh, wow.
And this is why you feel the high. Runner's high, for example, is a similar kind of thing. So there's no doubt that you're feeling that. No, I agree 100% with you.
Yeah, I think that fasting is something that you have to do for a while before you actually see the benefits of it. And you can't just do it a couple times, you know, because you bought a book, the 3-on-2-off book or something like that. You got to make it a way of life. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back,
okay.
I want to talk about Randy Roach told me a story once, and I want you to clarify it, about a bodybuilder who you put on the anabolic diet, and the guy was like over 300 pounds, and then you had to whittle him down and be ripped. And you know the story I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly the story.
Okay, all right, stay tuned. I want to illustrate what the anabolic diet can do for an athlete, even without the use of drugs. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer. For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SuperhumanRadio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. His website is Mauro, M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com. You can get the new version of the anabolic diet, which is now called the anabolic solution. So we're talking about the anabolic diet. We're talking about all this great stuff and all this stuff. But what does it come down to when all you care about is building the most muscle you possibly can for all of your hard efforts into the gym? So Randy Roach, who you know, the audience I'm talking about, who many of you know, changed the direction of this show many years ago when he taught me about physical culture, told me a story once, and he used to say to me, ask Mauro about it, where he said that Mauro took an athlete, and I don't know the athlete's name, and I don't know that you can even say, because he seemed to be hush-hush about it. This was a professional athlete at the time, and by using the diet alone, the guy got up to how many pounds, 300-something pounds?
Well, he was about 310. And now this is an experienced bodybuilder. This is a bodybuilder that has been in the highest levels of competition.
And you can't mention
you're not dealing with a novice.
You cannot mention his name. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. No, I can't.
Okay.
Part of it is the doctor-patient relationship.
Okay. 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 Very good. Okay.
So I can't mention his name, but his best weight in a competition was at 217 pounds, and he was about. Probably 4.5-5%, between 4-5% body fat, which is pretty good, and he was doing very well. So what we did is we bulked him up. Now, there are different ways of dealing with how you gain weight, and a lot of it depends on your phenotype. The genetic input, we were talking about the epigenetic changes as to how you handle macronutrients and how you should do your weight. For example, for some people, I'll ask them actually to decrease their body weight even further. Decrease their body mass, decrease their body weight, and then build them up. Whereas others, the traditional thing is you build up to a higher body weight, then you cut back down again.
Right.
Unfortunately, depending on how you do it, you can use a lot of muscle mass. So what we did with this chap was we did take him up to a very high body weight because this worked for him. We took him up to a very high body weight, then we slowly decreased the amount of... Well, when he was going up to body weight, obviously he was taking a lot of calories. And we're looking at probably... between 6,000 and 8,000 calories a day. Now, with the low carb, obviously you're going to have a lot of protein, but you're also going to have a lot of fat.
Right.
So what we did is we gradually took him up to the 310 pounds. And at that point, he was about, I think, 16% body fat.
Holy mackerel, that's nothing for 310 pounds.
No, no, it isn't. And we did it slowly, you know.
I mean, had there been high carbs in this, he would have been a lot more than 16% body fat.
Oh, definitely. Oh, no doubt about that.
Okay.
But anyways, as we worked him down, you know, part of the theory is you get your body, as we've been talking about, you get your body used to burning body fat as primary fuel. You know, you make the changes you need to make in the genetic expression of your own system. And then you gradually cut back the body fat, keeping the protein levels high. The dietary fat, keeping the protein levels high. Then your body is looking for fat. Where's it going to find it?
In your body.
It's going to find it in your body. Visceral and subcutaneous fat is used as a primary fuel. Because right now, the body says we need fat to make energy. Because it has lost some of the ability to utilize carbs, and you're not giving it carbs. So it's either going to make carbs for things it needs, like red blood cells, for example, have function by glycolysis. In other words, they have no ability to make ATP or energy from the Krebs cycle because the enzymes are not present in red blood cells.
Right.
So red blood cells do need glucose to break down into pyruvate, lactic acid, in order to get the energy they need to survive. All right? So what we did is basically cut back, again, you know, going back to what we were saying, cut back the body fat or the dietary fat, uses body fat, and we did this gradually. So in the contest that he went in after we went through this phase, he was about 13 pounds heavier than he'd ever been and more cut.
Wow. Now, only 13 pounds heavier. I would have thought
that's a lot. Don't forget. That's a lot for a guy that's been at it for 8 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I mean, you would have thought that he could have – what could have been done differently with him to have him maintain even more muscle mass, take a slower, a longer duration to reduce body fat?
Well, don't forget, this is over a one-year period.
Okay. All right.
So 13 pounds of muscle mass to somebody who has been competing at the high level for an eight-year period,
right,
where he hasn't been able to get above 217, all of a sudden he's 230.
Right, right.
And at about – he's about half percent – at least half percent lower body fat than he's ever been.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. But I'm just thinking 310 at 16%. I mean, that's he was carrying a lot more muscle. If there was just a way to slow it down and shed just the body fat, he would have been a monster.
Yeah, if we would have taken it a little more time, we probably could have done that. But at 230, he was pretty damn good. He won the contest.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So these are the – so give the listeners the types of stories that you get – from people who have used the anabolic solution to gain muscle mass and become very ripped for competitions. What's the typical type of stuff you hear, the feedback you get from the readers out there?
I mean, almost. I've got elite track athletes, Olympic champions. I've got MMA fighters, NFL players, all kinds of people that are, you know, to me, being a powerlifter and being within weight classes, it was all about performance per pound of body weight. You know, maximizing muscle mass, minimizing body fat, and increasing performance for every pound that you have on you. And that's what I espouse to most people. If you could maximize your muscle mass and minimize your body fat, then and do it more efficiently than you've ever done before, that's what it's all about.
And that,
of course, is performance. You know what I mean? Strength, increasing strength, increasing muscle mass, et cetera, will aid any athlete or anybody wanting to improve body composition. Doesn't matter who they are, you know?
So many people talk about, you know, when you eat high fat, high protein, virtually zero carbs or very, very low carbs, that you become grumpy and irritated. Does that once a week carb, high carb day kind of mitigate those effects?
Oh, it does. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And it depends on the person. Again, you know, I encourage people to experiment on a weekly basis. In other words, for example, let's say your system is set up that after 3 days of being on a really low carb, after your induction phase, after 3 days you start feeling a little bit sluggish, then at that point you can introduce a one higher carb meal. So instead of doing it at the end of the week, you might do it midweek. So, you know, and this is explained in the book. The experimentation is so important because everybody's so different. Epigenetically, genetically, and the way you can influence your energy metabolism, the macronutrient metabolism. We don't know how far this can go. In other words, obviously, you know, current thinking is this. Your genetic code, the hardwired code, gives you the, so to say, the limits, bottom limits and top limits of what you can do,
right,
whereas everything else places you within those limits. Now,
right,
that's still valid, and that was valid 150 years ago. But now we know why it's valid. We know that the epigenetic changes can take place almost immediately, not over a long span of time. We also know that it can be turned on and off. We also know that it can be transmitted to future generations.
Right.
So this is a very complex field, and, you know, keeping on top of it is a job in itself. This is something I'm fascinated with and have been for 50 years.
You know what's really funny? I can operate with virtually no carbs in my diet for long periods of time without becoming grumpy, sluggish, or anything. It's you know.
Hello, Carl?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You just broke up there.
I said I can operate with zero carbs or very, very low carbs in my diet for very long periods of time without being negatively affected. I mean, I started last Thursday, and the only carbohydrates I'm getting right now are residually incorporated into certain foods that I'm eating, you know, maybe dairy products and stuff. But I am not eating any carbs at all. I feel great. I am losing, obviously, water weight first, and then I'll be losing body fat. But do you think that's because of my experimentation because tomorrow, when I wake up in the morning, I posted this on Facebook recently. My fasting blood sugar levels are anywhere from 65 milligrams to 72 milligrams a liter in the morning. And I go to the gym and train fasted like that. I don't feel exhausted. My body, my insulin sensitivity must be quite high.
That's a whole different story. We're going to go into the insulin aspect, because what people believe about insulin is not necessarily common knowledge. I should say it is common knowledge, but it's not right.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you can be insulin sensitive in certain tissues and insulin sensitive in other tissues and increase your energy, metabolism, protein accretion, etc. At the same time.
Really?
In other words, this whole business about being insulin sensitive and insensitive, you have to understand that it's much more complicated than that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll go through that. That'll take a whole thing.
Yeah, that's actually the 15th. We'll be doing that show talking about that. And we've got lots of great shows planned for Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Okay, so here's the deal. The website is Mauro, MAUROMD.com, if you want to get your copy of The Anabolic Solution. This book is over 30 years old now. The premises behind it. Where Mauro was leading the pack back in the day, talking about high fat, high protein, very, very low carbohydrate consumption back in the day when they were telling people that they needed to eat 800 grams of carbs a day if they were athletes. Now we're seeing all this coming to fruition through those who are doing research into ketogenic diets and so on. Mauro is going to be dropping some new theoretical bombs on this show in the very, very near future. If you have questions for him, send them to onair@superhumanradio.com, and I'll make sure that he answers them in upcoming shows. And get the book in the meantime so you have some logical questions. Mauro,
can I just say something first?
Please, yes.
If people enter SHR20, they'll get a 20% discount on anything in my store.
Oh, that's wonderful.
OrMD.com.
That's
so awesome. That'll spur them on a bit. Also, I'm putting out a new newsletter starting in a couple of weeks. Especially when the new site comes on, my master site. If they want to join in on the newsletter, they can contact me directly. I can give them my email.
Please.
That's okay?
Yeah, please.
md.mdplus, so that's md.mdplus@gmail.com. And if they email me there, I'll put them on the newsletter list.
md.mdplus@gmail.com.
Right.
Perfect. So reach out tomorrow. Let them know you heard him today on Supium Radio. And get on his newsletter mail list. And we will talk to you on the 15th, Dr. DiPasquale.
Okay, sounds great.
Great to have you back.
Yeah, likewise.
We're not gonna do this ever again when we wait so long, okay?
No, I agree. Yeah, it's been a long time. 11 years. We've had a long history.
Yes, we have. Okay, look, just stay with me. So we're gonna end the show now We appreciate everybody listening today. Don't forget, tomorrow's Thursday. Brooks Kubik will join me for Physical Culture Radio in the morning. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening today.